Hey, you want to stop feeling like you're being kicked in the dirt? You want to start feeling good about yourself, America, the future? Today's podcast is for you. Also, the last hour of the podcast is with Dr. Robert Epstein. He is a research psychologist for the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. He's the guy who's been on with us before that has been studying Google and YouTube and everything and how they manipulate elections. Well, you don't know this, but you paid for this research to happen during the 2020 election. It's already gone to Congress. It actually was used to help in Atlanta. He gives you the whole story. It's amazing, and all because of you. All on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Oh, golly. It's Friday. Hi, Stu.
Glenn, how are you?
Oh, my gosh. I am fantastic.
Are you?
Oh, I am. You know, this should be concerning anybody who listens to this broadcast, because I am more clear than I have been in probably at least 10 years. And I am more optimistic than I've possibly ever been in my life.
Oh, that's terrible news.
That is terrible news.
Whenever you're optimistic, it means hell for the rest of us.
Yeah, it means something is coming that's really bad. Mm-hmm. But I am telling you, I see the path to victory and restoration. It's unbelievably clear to me right now.
Do we get to hear this path today?
Oh, yes. You're going to hear it today.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to hear it. I'm going to, in hour number two.
Okay.
Hour number two, I'm going to start laying the path out for you. Tell a friend. If you have somebody who's like really down, go, hey, you might want to tune into the Glenn Beck program, because this one I think is going to be good. Okay. So let me just give you some really good news. The swimsuit edition from Sports Illustrated. Stu, when you think of that, what do you think of?
Think of a lot of things, Glenn.
You do. There's
many things over the years I've thought.
What would be some of the things that, you know, Neanderthal men might think?
Oh, you're talking about those people?
Those people.
Oh, they might be attracted to the women inside wearing basically no clothing. In fact, many of the swimsuit pictures didn't feature swimsuits. Which was weird, because it just seemed like they were just topless on a beach.
Oh, my gosh. So this is the kind of Neanderthal thinking that we are so far away from that.
Thank you.
Because we agree with SI that their swimsuit edition has always been a launch pad for progress for all women. And when I saw those pictures, you know, some dirtbags would cut those pictures out and they'd, you know, put them in their locker or whatever. I always thought this is a launch pad for the empowerment of all women.
That's what you...
That's not what you thought.
No, that's what I thought. Yeah. I just was making sure believe the right thing.
I know. I thought I was alone.
Okay.
But now I know that's what Sports Illustrated, that's what they intended the whole time.
The launch pad
for progress.
Progress for all women. Right.
So now they're going a step further. Now you can only advertise if you have taken the step with them in this journey. They are saying now the only advertisers that will pay with change. So in other words, if you are a company that has already embraced gender equity, advertise, because they want you to advertise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't proven yourself to be a company that has already had, you know, you built your business as a launch pad for progress for all women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you haven't done that yet, you can't advertise.
So if I want to put an ad for my cookie butter company.
No, you're not a change
next
maker.
To the ass cheeks in the.
Yeah, no,
I can't.
You got to be a change maker sponsor.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're a change maker and you are part of or excited that some of your money is going to go to the Sports Illustrated Gender Equity Fund, you got to advertise. Now, I have to tell you, I called our advertising department and I said, I know I know how you all feel about gender fluidity and everything. We are champions of that.
Yes, for sure.
And I said, can we get our ads into Sports Illustrated? And specifically, the swimsuit edition. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is going to make Sports Illustrated, and particularly that particular edition, into something remarkably big.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is going to turbo.
People love it.
They love it.
It's now, like, I remember when Playboy made that important decision to not have nudity in their magazine, and it really just, it was a rocket ship to the moon after that. Yeah.
It sounds to me like you are saying... Not so.
Well, they may have reversed the decision in approximately 2 months.
Okay, so but... let me ask you this. Will Sports Illustrated finally embrace Alex Elindo?
Who?
Alex Elindo? Don't pretend you don't know.
I'm playing the role of the Neanderthal audience.
Oh, okay.
Alex Elindo
is. That's right. I forgot we're talking to a lot of conservative Neanderthals.
They're all out there. They're all conservative.
So,
they're driving around trucks. They're farming. I don't know what these people do, but you got to talk down to them, Glenn.
Those farmers.
Yeah.
Oh man. Aren't you glad that Carhartt just stuck into those people this week? I love it. Anyway, so she is the world's first ostomate porn star.
She sure is, Glenn.
And so, I mean, I thought an ostomate porn star is really where Sports Illustrated should go, because her whole thing is, hey, you have to include everybody in porno films. And she said, because she's had an ostomy, that she is even sexier than ever. Go ahead, ask. Please ask. I had to look it up. Please.
I don't think I want to ask. I know there's a question. There's a question I want to ask.
Ask it. Please ask.
I don't want to ask it.
It took me about 3 minutes because of the circle that Google has become. Okay, so she's the first ostomate.
All right. What is a
porn star?
What is an ostomate porn star?
Good. That's what I asked. Mm-hmm. Google gave me the answer. Someone who's had an ostomy.
Okay, well, that does not help at all.
Exactly right. Okay. Exactly
so
right.
So what is an ostomy?
Colostomy. Anybody who has had an ostomy has had a hole put in them and a tube for the elimination of waste. So she's the first
Why would that?
It makes her, she said, it makes her sexier than ever. She's the first porn star with a bag of pee and poop next to her. Which I think is so sexy.
Yeah, well, you're enlightened. These conservatives that listen to the show probably don't
correct,
even think that.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, SI, if you really are a launch power.
Thank you.
A launch pad to empower the progress of women, I want some ostomate models.
Ostomate swimsuit models.
Yes. Yes. And I think it needs to be. I think we need to stand on this. I will not buy the Sports Illustrated anything, nor will I contribute to their feminist empowerment fund sham until I have a copy of Sports Illustrated with an ostomate model in a swimsuit. And I want to see the bag of crap on the beach, because that's inclusive.
We should reveal, too, that, you know, you want people to stand up for this cause. This is what you had in mind when you were putting together the theme song for this year.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand
for
up. Give me that. Give me. Give it
bikini
to me,
models.
Sir. Give me the stand up. Mm-hmm. I mean, stand up. Yeah.
and originally the lyrics were stand up for ostomate porn stars, but wound up changing it. It was too clunky.
It was a little clunky and oddly too specific because there are so many other things to stand up for. Like... May I? Mars Incorporated, I'm quoting, the company behind the colorful candy-coated chocolates, announced yesterday a global commitment to creating a world where everyone feels they belong and society is inclusive. Now, I immediately think, where is the M&M character that has a colostomy bag?
There's none, as
there
far as I know.
There is none. None.
Not one.
Do you know how that porn star feels every time she sees those little M&Ms?
Hungry.
The brown one should be an ostomate.
And that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the global commitment to creating a world where everyone feels they belong and society is inclusive. As part of their new mission to increase the sense of belonging for 10 million people around the world by 2025. 10 million? Why only 10 million? 10 million, that's, I mean, if you were making M&Ms, 10 million seems like kind of a small kind of target, doesn't it?
Is it that the entire ostomate population, potentially?
Could be. Thank you, Stu, for being so open-minded and
hey, Glenn,
a real thinker.
I'm an ally.
Thank you.
Okay, an Asta ally.
Sense of belonging for 10 million people around the world by 2025 is their goal, and their M&M characters, who serve as mascots of sorts for the brand, will now be receiving fresh new looks. For instance, the green M&M, previously seen in ads posing seductively and strutting her stuff in white go-go boots, will now sport a pair of sneakers.
Wow.
The description for the candy company on the M&M's website said she enjoys being a hyper woman for my friends.
A hyper woman?
A hyper woman for my friends. I am a little offended, quite honestly, because she's could we call her what she is? And that is a menstruator.
Thank you. These weird terms, these like weird woman. Women.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what that is, quite honestly. Eminem went on to say, I think we all win when we see more women in leading roles. And that's why the green Eminem said, quote, I'm happy to take on the part of a supportive friend when they succeed. Isn't that great? Another character, the brown Eminem, the one I'm thinking that needs to have the colostomy bag, described her motto as not bossy, just the boss.
Ugh.
So M&M Mars has said that there is an updated tone of voice that is more inclusive, welcoming, and unifying while remaining rooted in our signature jester, wit, and humor, end quote. Now, I don't know about you, but with all of the issues that people people say that they're dealing with every day, I think the inclusivity of each color of the M&M is the thing that we should be talking about.
Yes.
And the more these companies can do this, the more I just want to buy their product.
Oh, yeah. No, this is because a lot of times the left says CEOs don't do anything and they don't deserve their money.
Yeah, no, that, are you kidding me?
I mean, so now we have the global vice president of M&M's talking about the individual diverse characteristics of the M&M.
First real time they've redesigned these guys since 1941. They are a little out of date, Stu.
This is literally a product that is at every store in America 2 feet from a cash register, and it's chocolate. You don't have to do anything in that job.
Right.
All you have to do is make sure the things get delivered.
Correct.
That is it.
Correct.
You don't have to sell them.
Correct.
You don't have to have commercials.
Lied to us
the whole
time. They do melt in your hand. So you've already lied to us. All you have to do is just keep making them.
Shovel the chocolate into our mouths.
That's right.
That's all you have to do.
That's it. But this goes to the Great Reset. Sports Illustrated
totally
says they're only going to accept advertisers who have the S in their ESG. I'm going to give you two other stories that'll blow your mind.
Right out of this book, though. I mean, it's not in the book because it hadn't happened yet. But the Sports Illustrated thing is
right out of the book.
Directly out of the book. Yep. It's exactly what the book explains is going to happen.
Yep. And it's here, gang. It is here. If you haven't gotten the book, get it. Please download the Kindle version now. This thing is so rare. There might be some individual bookstores that have the book. Call your local bookstore to see if they have it, but probably not. Sold out everywhere. And I can't wait to tell you what we're doing about that. Oh my gosh. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. I think you're going to love it. So get the book now. You can order it or get the Kindle book now, but it is a must read. Go to glennsnewbook.com and get the Kindle book. Do it now. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. The very unofficial, never even paid for, haven't even talked to the company about a sponsorship. This hour, sponsored by Hank's. Hank's Diet Root Beer. Hank's in many different flavors, some of them diet, some of them not. A local brew from Philadelphia. That is what you should be buying for your root beer and your soda.
And it's so good, too.
Go to Hank's.com. Can you look it up real quick?
Yeah,
I have no idea. We just drink it here, and it's really good. And they're official, unofficial sponsor of the Glenn Beck program, whether they like it or not.
HanksBeverages.net is the place to go.
That's so convenient.
HanksBeverages.net.
Hank, you got to change that one.
Okay.
HanksBeverages.net. Rolls off the tongue. Anyway, also, not a sponsor of this hour's program, but one that maybe they will go, what the hell is happening? American Giant. Want to say, go to hell, Carhartt. American Giant. Bringing the American values that never wear out into clothing. American Giant. Their clothing also never wears out. I just want to start doing business with local people, and I want to start doing business with, you know, everybody that we advertise on this program. I know them all personally, and most of them, and I mean, it's an amazing thing. If we weren't conservative, there would be a business book about what has happened to the clients of this show, because so many have started with five people and an idea, and they're like, this is our last dollar. I'm like, don't worry. I believe in your product. We'll be fine. And they've gone on to sell for, you know, $1 billion, or they're publicly traded companies and everything else. And then once they're publicly traded, then, you know, the board of directors comes in and they're like, we can't have you advertising on a conservative show. I love our sponsors. I love our sponsors. And we have to strengthen our communities. Let me see. Let's go to Corey on line 4 in Virginia. Hello, Corey.
Hi, Glenn. You've been talking about the struggle with different book formats for your new book, The Great Reset.
Yes.
I was wondering if or when an audiobook version of it will be coming in.
So I am trying to, I've scheduled tomorrow to begin recording. I was going to do it last week, but if you can tell, I don't know if people can tell, I have really, I have problems with my vocal cords. They can go into paralysis, and they do about every couple of years, and then I'm gone for a month. And I'm having a problem with my vocal cords right now. I don't know if you can hear the scratchiness in it. So it's going to take me about 30 hours to record. So I'm just trying to push it off a little bit. But as soon as I feel my vocal cords can handle the weight, I'm reading the book.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you, Corey. Bud in Washington. Hello, Bud.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
I want to say that reaching out to local businesses to sell this book is the first step I've heard that I can do something with. It's very powerful. I'm a very big believer that when the big box stores come, especially to the small community, they might create a few jobs, but they're taking away full businesses and the American dream from our neighbors. And if there's anything in the world as free people we can do on the left or the right, it is to go around these giant corporations and put the power and the money back in our communities.
Yes.
If we want that power back, we just quit using those. I'm going to gather up and talk to everybody I know in my community and see if I can't get some people to sell these books. I'm certainly going to buy one as soon as I get home.
God bless you. Thank you very much. But do you own a small business?
I do.
What do you do?
I teach truck drivers, Glenn, and I teach people that are immigrants that are coming from different countries, and they get their CDL through me. A lot of them go right out and buy a couple of trucks. They can go right to work hauling freight, making better than a family wage.
Oh, yeah.
I know several of them that now have fleets of trucks, but the fuel's going up so much, and the giant trucking companies are hauling it for so cheap, it's getting harder and harder, and the regulations are piling up. If we can get around those big companies, even the people that I'm training, especially the immigrants that are coming here, it's going to help us all get free and more powerful.
Bud, you are exactly right, and that you've pretty much summed up the last chapter of the book of The Great Reset. And, you know, when I was talking to my staff yesterday, and I'm like, we're going guerrilla. We'll just break it up. Break it up. I mean, you can't stop something if it's duplicated everywhere. I mean, we're just divvy up all of the work instead of doing it at one place, and let's go local. And as I'm talking about it, I'm like, this is the Great Reset. How did we not think of this in the first place? This is the solution that we present in the book. And we can demonstrate it now to people. We can get you involved and get you making money, your community making money by printing these and selling them in local bookstores, and bypassing all of the other. That's what has to happen. And not just for the book, but for everything. Right now, do you know that there are about 600 different products in your grocery store? Okay. Minimum of about 600 different products and different, you know, lines. Do you know those 600 products, all those grocery store shelves, though, all of those different brands, everything that's in there, they're pretty much owned by 12 companies. Did you know that? We walk in and we think we have such variety, and we do, but they gobble everything up. And so we are beholden to 12 companies. So when there's a food chain breakdown, it's because one of the 12 companies. The reason why your meat is so expensive is because we have let the butchers only come from four companies. And these four companies, they'll never convince me they're not colluding. I mean, maybe they have psychics at work, so they know exactly what the other people are doing. But they have their own agenda. They are making money hand over fist while our local ranchers are dying. So what's the solution? Well, we could go and vote for somebody in Washington and make sure that they break up this monopoly. Or we can just start our own local butcher places. So I don't have to ship my cow in Idaho to Denver and sell it in Denver. I can have the butcher there in my own local market butcher it, and I can sell it to the grocery store or to the butcher shop. Why are we doing this? The one thing we should be learning from COVID that nobody is talking about. We get too much stuff from China, don't you think? Gosh, all of our drugs? By the way, it was very nice that Nancy Pelosi and the president are buying up and giving away all these N95 masks. I hope you know how they work, because all of the directions are in Chinese. Made by the Chinese. What the hell is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? You know what's wrong with us? Nothing. Nothing. We've just been docile. We've just looked for someone else to tell us what the right thing to do is. That's not America. That's the rest of the world. We are the people that we say this is the right thing to do. We've stopped believing that we even know the difference between right and wrong. That we're letting someone else tell us. Yeah, see that guy who's wearing the bikini swimsuit on the swim team that seems to have a lot of junk where women don't have junk? And he's huge, muscular? Yeah, that's a dude. We're not saying that. We're not saying that. We all know it. We all know that our girls are being hurt. They can physically be hurt if it's a physical sport, but they also, hey, girl, give up on your dreams. See that dude? He's built differently than you. Oh, no, that's not true. Oh, that's not true. He can menstruate. No, he can't. You're a racist. No, I'm not. You don't even understand what racism is. Because you're telling me I should judge people based on the color of their skin. That is racism. Period. You can get all of your scholarly think tanks and professors together and you can make up all kinds of new words and definitions. You are full of bullcrap. Sorry. That's what we need to start saying. I don't say that with malice. I'm not saying that to make somebody feel bad. I'm just telling you, that's the truth. And I'm not going to live in America anymore because it's not America. This is not America. Kids, if you happen to be listening to me and you're with your parents right now, I want you to really listen. And it may not mean anything to you now, but it will when you get older. And I want you to remember that you were with your parent when you heard it. And your parent looked at you and said, that's exactly right. This is not America. What you're living in is some sort of funhouse distorted mirror of America. This doesn't reflect any reality of who we were and who we are, and most importantly, who you will become. The one who decides that is you. No matter who tells you, no matter how many times people tell you, oh, well, you can't do that. You're not smart enough. You're not rich enough. You're too privileged, or you're not privileged enough. Well, these people are standing in your way, so I've got to vote for that person. And then when we get Washington and we get the White House and the Congress, then we'll get them and we'll change it back. Those are all lies. All lies. You want to change something? Just believe in yourself. Just believe in the power of you. Just believe in the power of freedom. Just believe in the power of decency and goodness. You know what capitalism is? Capitalism is you getting up in the morning and going, I got a great idea. You know, I really hate doing this because it's such a pain in the ass. I just came up with a way so I don't have to do it, or it's a much easier thing to do, or it's just a much better way of doing it. That's capitalism. You having an idea. And then the job of the government is to protect your idea, to make sure it remains your idea and isn't given to Google because they have more money and bigger attorneys. You're 15 years old. You had an idea. It's your idea. No matter who they can hire, no matter how much they have, that's America. That's the job of the government. Make sure Russia, China doesn't come in and take all of our stuff. I don't want a war. I just don't want people stealing my stuff, and that includes my right. That's the job of the government. The other job, make sure your idea remains your idea. The rest of it is up to you and the rest of the community. And as soon, mark my words, you'll remember this someday. As soon as this country decides, and it's only going to take about 20%. As soon as this country decides, get the hell out of my way. I am so tired of the excuses. As soon as 20% of this country decides, America will magically reappear and we will write our greatest chapter yet. And you are going to be the author.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
so thrilled to have back into the studio Dr. Robert Epstein, who is the senior researcher, research psychologist that we have had on several times, who looks at Google and YouTube and everything else on manipulation. And refresh us, the last time we talked, it was in the run-up to the election.
Yes.
And you needed a buttload of money.
Yes.
And you said, if we can do this, we can find out if this manipulation is happening.
Correct.
This audience was the one that stepped up, and I don't remember how much we raised, but you got enough money to do the research. Go ahead.
Your viewers, your listeners, your people, okay, I don't know who these people are, but they're amazing.
They are.
Because they stepped up and they gave donations. More than 7,000 of them gave donations of between $1 and $300,000.
Wow.
And we got the money that we needed to set up the largest tracking system to track big tech and see what they're showing real voters, literally real voters. We had a 1,735 field agents in swing counties in the swing states, and with their permission, we were basically capturing what they saw on their screens. We had an equal mix of liberals, conservatives, moderates, and we preserved a massive amount of information that is normally lost forever. 1.5 million ephemeral experiences.
Which means it's fleeting. It happens and then it's gone forever.
Gone forever. It's not stored. We preserved 1.5 million political ephemeral experiences in these swing counties, in these swing states, content going to real register. These are all registered voters whose identities we kept secret so that these companies never knew who they were.
Correct.
And over 3 million web pages, and we've spent the last year analyzing the data, and we found incredible bias, all that stuff, but also something truly amazing happened. And this is, honestly, Glenn, I smile when I come in here because this is you and your people who did this.
So it makes me so happy.
Okay, literally no one else stepped up. Your people did this. This is amazing. On October 30th, right before the election in 2020, we were seeing such dramatic results, which I'd be happy to share, of course.
Yeah, please, yeah.
That we decided, and we've never done this before, even though the election is, you know, not for a few days, we went public with some of our initial findings. And I shared them with my contact in Senator Cruz's office. And the next thing that happened was November 5th, 2 days after the election, three U.S. senators sent an extremely threatening letter, two-page letter, to the CEO of Google saying, Epstein's work shows you did this and this and this and this and this, you know, and, you know, please explain this. How do you account for this? And guess what happened?
What?
Google backed down in Georgia. We had over 1,000 field agents in Georgia. Google stayed out of Georgia completely. That is the first time ever anyone has gotten
Holy cow.
Well, what this says, this is a lesson here. It's a huge lesson for all of us. No laws or regulations are ever, ever going to constrain these companies. And we don't even have leaders, by the way, who are capable of passing such law.
Or even understanding the technology.
Well, Cruz does. I mean, you know, there are a few people
here and there.
But not only that, even if they did pass laws, you can't keep up with tech. Tech
correct.
Is too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what we learned from this process, thanks to you? We learned that monitoring systems, tracking them, doing to them what they do to us and our kids 24 hours a day, tracking them gets them to back off. They have to back off because we're exposing them and we have massive amounts of data that they can't deny. So this is the solution to protecting our democracy, protecting our kids, protecting our own minds from manipulation by these tech companies, today's Google and tomorrow's Google, is we have to set up a large-scale permanent monitoring system that is self-sustaining, and it's in all 50 U.S. states. It will monitor, it will track, and it will expose.
So the key here is, how do you keep it neutral? Because right. I don't care who's running Google or any right. of these tech companies. It could be all run by conservatives. I don't want them influencing people.
Exactly. Oh, it has to be done right. It has to be done with, it has to be bipartisan, nonpartisans. There's got to be, you know, all that yeah. bureaucracy, which is, you've got to make sure that this monitoring system is run fairly. I would personally would not trust the U.S. government to run it.
I wouldn't either.
So, you know, because then whoever's in power would control the monitoring.
Correct.
So you want something that is neutral. There are such organizations out there, believe it or not. I mean, you know, there aren't that many, but there are some. And this has to be...
I know you.
Well, this has to be neutral. It has to be, you know...
Okay. So let's go through some of this.
Sure.
By the way, you can get a report. He's offering something really great. If you go to mygoogleresearch.com, you're going to find all of the research. You've updated just for this audience, and you'll be able to see all of it. And what do you get?
We will send you a digital copy of this book, which I just gave you, which yeah. is which is my congressional testimony from 2019, but I just updated it. In fact, that is dated yesterday, January 20th. And I updated it with all our new findings from the presidential election 2020, from the Georgia elections, and some of our latest research. We've done breakthrough research in the past year that eclipses everything we've ever done before. We have, at this moment in time, 12 scientific papers under review and 4 that are in press. So, I mean, we have all kinds of new discoveries.
The senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. He's also the former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today magazine, a PhD of Harvard University, 15 books on artificial intelligence, yada, yada, yada. The guy's resume is quite amazing. Dr. Robert Epstein is with us now. And did I say that right? Is it Epstein? Epstein? I keep getting it wrong.
I say Epstein. You just think. Well, I think just think Einstein with Einstein. An F.
Okay. All right. So, tell me what you learned.
Okay. There's two kinds of things that we've learned over the past, especially over the past year and a half. I've been doing all this stuff now for over 9 years, but last year and a half has just been a windfall. So in 2020, in the presidential election, the days leading up to the presidential election, we found, as we found in previous elections, considerable liberal bias, and I am a liberal, mm-hmm. a considerable liberal bias on Google search results, possibly sufficient to have shifted more than 6 million votes with no one knowing that it was being done, and except for our monitoring, with no paper trail for authorities to trace, because no, it's all ephemeral stuff.
So how would 6 million people have their minds changed? What did you see?
Because if you go back in time, at some point in time, 20% or more of voters are undecided. And depending on the election, in fact, that percentage can be much higher. But if you assume 20% a few months before, and if you assume that Google is stacking the deck on those search results, people trust what's higher. And Google knows that. And if they put content that's higher that favors one candidate, say Joe Biden, and that makes another candidate look terrible, like Donald Trump, people, the undecided people, those are influenced by that. That's what our experiments show. You can shift up to 80% of undecided voters after just one search if you have biased search results, because people trust that high-ranking stuff. By the way, we even know why now people have that trust, because about 86% of the searches that people do online are for simple facts. What is the capital mm-hmm. of Texas? I should know that because I'm in Texas right now.
Austin,
thank you. I was there yesterday.
Yeah.
The point is that most of what people search for is for simple facts, and where does the answer turn up? Always at the top. So over and over again, we're like rats in a Skinner box. We're being trained. What's at the top is best. What's at the top is truer. We've done experiments to prove this, by the way. And so if you are a company like Google and you have a strong political bias, whether it's conscious or unconscious, doesn't matter. If you put algorithms out there that boost one candidate or boost one cause, that has no effect on the people with extreme views. You know, people are committed to one position or another, but it has an enormous effect on people who are undecided, uncommitted, really trying to make up their minds. They trust what Google shows them at the top of that list.
I just did a podcast yesterday with the FCC commissioner, and we were talking about AI and search results and everything else, and how frightening this is when these companies have so much knowledge about you as an individual. Mm-hmm. There comes a time, and I think we might be there, where you don't know if you have free will. You don't know if you made that decision or you were kind of pushed and moved gently, slowly into that decision.
Oh, I know. I know because I've been doing experiments on this for over 9 years. I know for sure because it's not just search results. That's a big one. But search suggestions that are flashed at you as you start to type a search term. I can prove it to you if you have a phone here. You are being manipulated from the very first character that you type into the search bar on Google.
Okay, he has got his phone open.
Yeah, are you at Google.com?
I'm about to go to Google.com right now.
Because I will prove it to you.
Okay. Yeah.
So these search suggestions that they're flashing at you,
correct.
Those aren't to help you. Those are to manipulate you. We've shown in experiments just by fiddling around with search suggestions, we can turn among undecided voters a 50-50 split into nearly a 90-10 split just by manipulating search suggestions, and no one has the slightest idea that they're being manipulated.
Good heavens. All right. Well, what does he do?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm at Google.
Insert, you're at the search box?
I am.
Type the letter A.
A. All right. I've got Amazon.
Ooh, amazing.
Academy Sports and Outdoors. Mm-hmm. Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Let's stop right there.
Well, that's the most certain. I mean, that's what people are looking for when it has an A.
Yeah, but. Oh, sure. But
that's what people will think.
Well, as it happens, though, call it a coincidence that Amazon happens to be Google's largest advertiser, and Google is the largest single source of traffic to Amazon that there is. It's a business relationship, and if you don't believe me, go to G. Just type just a G. Erase the A. Type a G.
All right. I've got Google Translate, Google, Gmail.
Oh, what do you know? What do you know? What a shocker. What that tells you is if you're going to start a company, make sure the name does not begin with G.
I will say, too, how many people are going to Google.com to search for the word Google? I feel like there's a limited amount of people who would go to Google.com to search for Google.
Yeah, if you know
you're at Google already.
Right.
What do you mean?
Right.
Okay, but it's not just the search suggestions. It's those answer boxes now that they show you all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, we have incredible new research just on the answer boxes. The answer box alone, it stops people from looking down at the search results. They literally don't go down there.
So it's so funny because it does the opposite to me. It really does. These answer boxes will come up and I'll be like, well, who the hell are you to tell? You know what I mean? And I go back down and I'm searching.
You do this for a living, though.
Yeah, I do it for a living.
The average person, I don't think, reacts that way.
No, people are lazy and people are trusting, especially of Google. You know, it's such a cool name. It's got to be good. And you know
so
what?
Weird.
The answer box alone can produce a 38% shift in the opinions and thinking of people who are undecided. And not just on election issues, but on anything. So take that a step further. Now is where it gets scary. Okay.
I don't know. I'm already a little...
Oh, no.
Unnerved.
No. I've hardly got going here. Because take that a step further.
He sounded a little like Vicini there, didn't he? From the Princess Bride. Oh, no. I haven't even begun.
One of my favorite movies. Yeah. I've seen it 10 times with my kids. Great. Anyway, so answers. It gives you an answer, right? Now, we call this new effect the answer bot effect, because what else gives you just the answer? Well, your phone. Your iPad, these devices that are called personal assistants, all of these personal assistants, like Amazon's Alexa, mm-hmm. like the Google Home device, which they mm-hmm. try to have you put in every single room in your house. Mm-hmm. These are answer bots. And when you ask a question, it only gives you one answer. And now we have shown in controlled experiments that with one single question and answer sequence, we can produce more than a 40% shift in the voting preferences of a group of undecided voters. And if we give them the same kind of biased answer over and over again, we can produce over a 65% shift in the voting preferences of undecided voters.
And none of this, if it wasn't for your research and, you know, this audience raising the money to be able to track it, none of this would have been provable.
Correct.
It's just a theory.
It all would have been theory.
So how do they do that without leaving a trail? The algorithm has to be, is it's a proprietary,
but it's, the algorithm is worthless. You can't use the algorithm to go back in time and find out what ephemeral stuff they were showing you or your kids. It's impossible. And they know that. And that is why there was a leak of Google emails to the Wall Street Journal.
I remember that.
And one of the emails said, it's one Google Googler talking to other Googlers, and it said, how can we use ephemeral experiences to mm-hmm. change people's views about Trump's travel ban? They know this. They know that ephemeral experiences, except for what I do, cannot be tracked.
You want the full report on what, you know, you want to talk about a rigged election, as we got another one coming. Just go to mygoogleresearch.com, mygoogleresearch.com. You'll get a free PDF of the booklet, Google's Triple Threat to Democracy, Our Children, and Our Minds.